Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Cubley. It's the 5 o'clock fire.
Ah, it is 5 o'clock. Congratulations. Hopefully you're off work. Luckily for you, old Dirty and the Dilf.
The big Dilf.
Psycho T have the latest for you. And the latest is, one, 5 o'clock fire is brought to you by Kirk Holmes. Really concerning news probably about midday came about. I know Tyler texted our group. That at that point it started to kind of float out. That there had been a situation with Tank Dell, and then there was a shooting at a party he was at, and then the report says that he was hit. This is the latest. Dennis Lima, Seminole County Sheriff, speaks and gives an update on the situation, and in particular with Tank Dell.
Let me show where Tank Dell, Nathaniel Dell, is obviously a third-round 2023 draft pick, 69th overall from the Houston Texans, somebody who was a star athlete in the Daytona Beach area, known to a lot of people there. He is standing literally between the firearm altercation. The video shows that he's walking. His report, because he is a victim in this case, he has been injured as a result of this. His report was that he saw this, or actually he saw what was going on. He took his cell phone out, had the cell phone in his hand, but you can see the position that he's in. He's right in the middle of this firearm altercation. And again, we will continue to work with him as a victim in this particular case.
All right, that's the latest there, and, you know, really there's that's all we know at this point. We hear and heard reports that there are minor injuries that he should be able to recover from, nothing serious. And throughout that entire situation, most of the injuries, all the injuries were minor as reported. Obviously, Clint, from what we're seeing, and there are videos and things out right now, where it looks like the situation could have been a lot worse. So very thankful for that. But right now, that's the latest. Anything else we hear at all, more to report, we will certainly do that. The Texans put out a statement yesterday expressing being aware of the situation. So that is the latest. That's about 2 hours ago when that was reported. So luckily and thankfully, Tank Dell appears to be in a good spot.
Yeah.
And as good of a spot as you can be out of it.
Yeah, man. Look, it can happen anywhere at any time, midnight on a Saturday or noon on a Sunday, man. It can happen anywhere, anytime. I'm just glad the young fella's all right. And hopefully, though, it looks like they got one of the guys that was firing immediately. And hopefully they get them all under wraps and take care of them all, because obviously in a crowded place like that, the video is pretty disturbing considering how many people were in the middle of it. Surprising that nobody was killed in the accident. At least reportedly it was all everybody's okay. But 10 folks were shot supposedly. So just glad that Tank got out of there all right.
Yeah, it is. So that is the latest there. Again, when we hear anything else, if there is any other updates in this, we will let you know that moving forward.
5 o'clock fire.
All right, the draft, obviously the big story over the weekend, and the Texans draft is out. We've been discussing a lot of that throughout the day. Clint, for you, I'm just curious, in your mind, what was your favorite thing that the Texans did? What was your favorite thing in this draft that the Texans did when we look at all their picks?
The Cade Stover kid out of Ohio State is a good get. I think he's a guy that is not just developmental, but also feels a need and gives you some depth at the tight end position. I think Cade Stover, 6'4", 250, 255, somewhere in there.
Yeah.
A guy that's only been playing tight end for a couple of years, so obviously he's got some of his better years ahead of him. He's very much so a developmental player, but he's good enough at the moment to be a number two tight end, I think, especially the Texans appearing to want to throw the ball around the park a lot more, be a lot more pass first, if you will, it appears. I think he could back up Dalton Schultz. He could play in some 12 personnel, which is one back, two tight ends. He could play in some of those sets and be effective right now in the pass game. I think he's physical enough and wants to block, wants to be physical and dominate folks, which I think the want to is a big part of it. So I think he can get the job done now from that perspective. But as he develops, that's the part of his game that potentially could be a game changer for him at this level. So I think Cade Stover's probably the most, which was the fourth round pick, I believe.
Yep.
For the Texans. I think he's the one that gets me good and excited.
He was the one that I got excited about. Yeah, he was the one when you saw that, you thought, obviously has a connection with CJ. And to me, one of the, like, if you look at some of the different potential holes or things that you said, boy, this team is lacking. And especially, and we'll see how they run offense, Clint, but we know they want to run the football a lot better than they ran the football last year. And I think we would make mention to it, and I know you would, that the tight end as a part of that was an issue as well. And I look at that, and I think his physicality, and he seems to welcome it. He wants it.
Yeah.
Right? He talked about it when he sat with Sean and John over the weekend when they spoke with him. He cussed all over the place. But he seemed to speak and say, I'm a throwback. And the physicality as a former defensive player is something that he's into. And that Clint, there's an argument that outside of maybe Lassiter, but there's an argument that part of his game may be the most ready-made thing that the Texans can expect from the draft class. Like him as an inline blocker, as a tight end, more ready than Bullock coming in immediately playing, more ready than obviously the tackle they drafted in the second round and any of the later picks. There is a potential thought that may be the thing that may be ready to be able to happen right now, day one.
Well, I think
it's him blocking in the run game.
The want to is there. I don't know if the technique and the experience and all that stuff to be a dominant. And here's the deal.
I bet he blocks better than my man from Miami.
Oh yeah, well that's not real difficult, dude. Brevin Jordan. Look, here's the deal. I mean, the truth of the matter is, and as we talk about Cade Stover, as we talk about Dalton Schultz struggling in a run block game, we talk about Damian Pierce not being able to get going in a run game and essentially being a non-factor down the stretch for the Texans and them having to go Devin Singletary. We talk about all these different guys, right? And at the end of the day, if the offensive line, tackle to tackle, if they become more dominant, if they get push, then it's not just about the running back having space and the running back be able to make more hay and have more success. It's also easier to block for these tight ends, right? I mean, if your O-line is getting no push and every scraper or every defensive end has got a free beeline path to Dalton Schultz, he's not going to win those. It's just that there's not many tight ends that are. I mean, there's some rare breeds out there that are playing in the game that'll have a chance, but they're not going to win those situations. And so what has to happen is as this offensive line, as their continuity grows and they get better in this system, hopefully there's more push and more movement up front. And when that happens, then the blocking responsibilities are more defined and your tight ends are more helpers your tight ends have a chance to be successful. Cade Stover, Dalton Schultz, Brevin Jordan, guys like Damian Pierce, who were just wrote off completely last year. If all of those things are happening, then Damian Pierce will be a good backup running back in this league, right? I just firmly believe that. That if things up front get better, then there's less of a need to have a little jitterbug type back that can make guys miss 4 yards deep in the backfield. Now you're running lanes. Now you're getting downhill. Now you're putting your one cut back, put your foot in the ground, and get vertical. I think all these little pieces, their job around the offensive line is made significantly easier. I say all that to say not just Cade Stover,
yeah,
right, but all of these guys will play better as it pertains to the run game in particular if that happens. And so Cade will have a chance definitely at some point in time, and I'm just excited about it. He's going to be a different dude week 8 than he is week 1.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Like you said, the want to is a big
huge,
big part of it.
Biggest part of it all. Of it.
I don't know how many guys that the Texans have on the roster that has the physicality want to up front.
5 o'clock fire.
All right. I guess you guys expressed this to me because the Astros, they did sweep the Rockies those two games in Mexico City. How big was that? How big was that for this team after you come away from it? They get swept on the road in Chicago, and some of those games were tough fashions the way they lost. How big was this weekend for them to get those two games against the Rockies?
Well, we'll find out. I think it's undecided.
I'm completely with you on that.
I don't think they were face down on rock bottom. They would have been had they lost to the Rockies. I think they were standing on rock bottom. And they beat the Rockies convincingly twice. And they not only that, but they did so in getting Framber Valdez back in the fold, right? And so when you look at that, it's all about the Colorado Rockies sweep, if you will, which, by the way, give me a break. Whoever in the Astros organization thought it was a good idea to post about break out the brooms and we swept the Rockies
that?
In a two-game series.
What was
I mean, get
that?
Get the hell out of
Tyler,
here, man.
Tyler, did you do that? Tyler,
what?
Did you do that? Were you a part of the Astros staff?
No.
They had to break out the
brooms?
No.
We sweep the Rockies?
No.
I mean, get the hell out of here, whoever did that.
We need several come to Jesus meet.
Yes.
They need to run Verlander up in that staff.
Yes, running through that staff. And say,
pull your heads out of your ass.
We're having a hard enough time not embarrassing ourselves. We don't need your help.
They like maybe Swiffered them, but they definitely, I don't count that as a sweep.
Yeah, that needs to be taken off the hands of whoever that youngster is right now. We don't need any of that help right there. But the point is like, if you take that momentum and you run with it now and you make a little run here and get yourself back into some level of respectability, then that series, that run to Mexico City could be the turning point of the season that catapults these guys into, again, or more out of that funk that they've been in. Then it'll mean something. If they just come right back into the lackadaisical, nonchalant, bad baseball that they had been playing, then it don't mean a damn thing.
Yeah, I'm with you. It is to be determined. Hey, you did what you're supposed to do.
Yep.
All right. I think the big thing of importance is, one, O'Neill continues. He gave up 2 runs in the first inning, but Ronnell continues, gets into the 6th inning, 5 2/3, 2 runs, and continues to roll with his 8 strikeouts and 2 walks. So it's huge. He has been consistent. There's almost a wait and wonder, all right, when is he going to come back to any kind of earth and afford it? They need him to continue to pitch the way he is. And then Framber Valdez getting out there and giving you 5 and going long enough to be the pitcher of record and then going out there, no walks, 6 strikeouts, 2 earned. That was big to get him back. Now you feel like he'll feel better and more comfortable as this thing rolls on. So I think those were the 2 big keys. The biggest thing, Framber Valdez getting back on the mound and being able to go.
5 o'clock fire.
All right, the NBA playoffs continue. A big game, big day yesterday. Some news coming from Sham. There is doubt that Bucks All-Star guards Giannis Antetokounmpo with the calf strain and Damian Lillard with his Achilles tendon strain will be able to play in the potential elimination game 5. Versus the Pacers on Tuesday. They are down 3-1. They both of them missed the game. Then Bobby Portis decided to get ejected 5 minutes into it, who may have been their next best player. But they may be in doubt. I just – clearly Giannis shouldn't play. And I think Damian probably should. These things right here, both of them, look like Kevin Durant.
Yes.
They look like they are destined within somewhere – I hope not, and this is why – I think the Bucks need to be very, very smart with this. It feels like if they push this thing, that we could have Achilles issues. Because both of them are the same thing, basically. This calf strain thing, that's the same thing they said about Kevin Durant before, I think, the first or second quarter in that finals game against the Raptors, where it was all she wrote, and he ripped his Achilles. And he had to miss the next year as well. So this one don't look right to me. It looks like these guys have serious injuries and they could really hurt themselves if they roll out there and try to play.
That's a tricky area to have an injury, right, Ron? It's one of those where, like, you probably feel good enough to play at some point in time, and you wonder if, like, let's say you don't play. I mean, is surgery going to happen anyway? Are you going to spend all off season? Are you going to have all off season? Strengthening it and rehabbing it anyway, like you know what I mean. I don't know. I'm not a doctor, but it just seems like one of those that I wonder if you're better off playing until it pops and then repairing
it. Feels like
it.
Like Tommy John, it's just destined to happen.
Well, you just wonder, if it's strained right now, like, I mean, what are the odds of you straining it again the minute that you try to play next year? I don't know. I don't know how that actually works. I mean, surely you don't just go from like a strained calf to pop. Your Achilles is gone.
No, I mean, that's
surely
why
there's something.
Like, every time
that.
I see this, it's Kevin Durant, and they tried it and tried. They set him multiple rounds, and then they got desperate against Toronto.
Sat his ass on
and
that
he
court,
came out
he?
There, and he was over there jumping. I was like, well, maybe he's all right. No, he thought he felt good about it.
He could take off.
Said, let's go. Yo. Especially Giannis. But the way that Giannis plays, maybe Damian can get away with them Achilles, man. That's a rough one. Come on, LeBron, please, just one time tonight. God, Lakers, just one time tonight. Just keep me in it. Just keep me to Thursday. All right, coming up. What was your reaction? Now, you saw the board. You saw everything was going. Honest to goodness, what was your reaction when you saw that Kamari Lassiter was going to be the Texans' first pick of this draft? We'll discuss that coming up next.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Cubley.
Hey, remember Wednesday, 7:30. 7:30 a.m. Payne and Pendergast will have for you. Payne and Pendergast will have for you the general manager, Nick Caserio. 7:30 a.m. He will be on there live speaking to the guys and talking about the draft and talking about the top picks. We got Nick on Kamari Lassiter. We got any comments on Nick? Let me hear Nick talk about Kwame.
Who? Slap your face. There you go. Good. I want them all on that right side, too. Don't try to switch sides of the
Tyler,
face.
Tyler, going to go get Nick Caserio and Lester has the time to hit the button. Here's the general manager who you will hear on these airwaves on Sports Radio 610 coming up on Wednesday, 7:30 with Payne and Pendergast. Here was him on his first pick in this draft.
Lassiter is position flex. He's played in the perimeter of the formation. He's played inside the formation. I'd say he plays with a linebacker type mentality. I mean, he's a corner, but he tackles. He's tough. He's physical. I'm sure there'll be a question about his speed and how fast he ran, but he's not slow. So, like, the speed really wasn't a concern of ours. So, the time's the time. But, like, we're drafting football players. You know, we're not drafting track teams. So, I know speed's important. I'm not saying speed's not important. But we don't feel that that's an issue for this particular player. And when you watch him play in the SEC, you don't walk away and have that concern.
All right, that's Nick Caserio speaking on Kamari Lassiter, his new corner, the newest member of the Houston Texans, second-round pick at 42. And I want to know from all of you, all right, 713-572-4610. Those of you on YouTube and Twitch, Tyler, lead this off. When you heard that name, when you heard and saw, and Tyler was in here working on Friday, so he was right around it. He probably heard it earlier. When you heard Kamari Lassiter is going to be the pick, he is going to be there. You saw the board, had everything shook out. They were going corner. They were going him. What was your reaction?
My initial reaction was, okay, that is not one of the names that I had really a great understanding of going into the draft. He wasn't one of the prospects I recognized right away. But I did like the fact that he was on the defensive side of the ball for the Texans making that selection. And I love the program he was coming from and what you think about when you think about the Georgia Bulldogs and the defense over there. But knew I had to dive into doing a little research on him. I just thought, all right, Caserio knows what he's doing. He's been cooking here lately. So I don't know much about this kid, but I'm good with it. Let's go.
So I'm saying, how did you have to do? Because it sounds like you had to get to a space of you weren't excited right off the bat.
No, right.
You had to do some research to get your excitement level going there and some trust to get your excitement level going there. Someone texted in that the Texans will forever regret selecting Kamari Lassiter over A.D. Mitchell is what they were thinking. Your thoughts when you heard that name, when you heard that it was going to be Lassiter as the selection there?
Well, it was a buzzkill for me. Hell, I'm sitting there watching the draft and the way it's fallen. I'm thinking, man, they're fixing to have a shot to get Kool-Aid McKinstry. They're going to have a shot to get Cooper DeJean. They're going to have a shot to get Brandon Fisk. I mean, you got some guys that are really, hey, that's reachable now. Now, we're not talking about trading multiple, I mean, obviously more than one pick, but you're not talking about two or three picks or trading your big picks, your premium picks, I mean, to move up three or four spots. They're right there, and then all those guys run off the board immediately, boom, 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 right before the Texans go, and
never going to happen again.
Kamari Lassiter just flies off the off the board with the Texans, and I'm thinking, wow, I got to go look this kid up. This is not one that was on my radar in terms of what of who they were going to get. So it was a little bit of a buzzkill for me, if I'm being completely honest.
Yeah, my thought was, all right, they clearly on their draft board, in a way that was different than teams like the Eagles and teams like the Saints, they clearly on their draft board had Kamari Lassiter in the same range or the same grade or was comfortable enough that it wasn't that big of a difference between him, Kool-Aid, and Cooper DeJean. Right, because those guys were right there, right? And I think when you say buzzkill, Clint, you're saying to yourself, all right, hell, I'm sitting here, pick 40, Cooper's still on the board, Kool-Aid's still on the board, and I don't even remember who was there before, but you could look and see, well, both of these cats ain't drafting corners. And then you're like, oh, you're going to get one of these corners. They're going to be right there for the – one of them, are, you know, if not both of them, would be there. Now you got to choose. And then two guys flew up and got you. I feel a little bit better in the thought of, all right, at least those guys, even though I don't think others had them rated in the same vein, those guys, the Texans, had them rated close enough that they didn't feel they had to go make a move to get them. Because we know Nick, and what we've seen Nick since he has arrived here, Clint, if there is a need to go get somebody, he will go get it. Like, I mean, he will make the move. There are countless examples of trades that he has made to move up to go get specific players. And clearly this was a sign in which they didn't feel like they needed to go get those specific players.
Yeah, look, I thought they could have jumped. I thought there were plug and play starters that had a higher ceiling, at least. It had more potential to be a plug and play difference maker that we as fans would see on day one. And I think they missed on that opportunity. Kamari Lassiter, look, here the truth is when I hear big, rangy, physical corner with man to man skills, and the one question mark is his speed, then for me personally, I think probably more of an inside corner, probably more of a zone corner, not a guy that's going to transition to the league and be this big physical man corner that I mean, it's reported at his pro day, didn't run at the combine, it's reported at his pro day. There were some scouts that had him at 4.51, 4.53. There were some scouts that had him at 4.61 to 4.65. Now that's I would say a little bit of a concern. I'm no dummy. I played with a bunch of guys that couldn't run a 40 if their life depended on it, but they played plenty fast. I get it. But that's a big window. 4.51 to 4.65 is a big window. Hell, at corner, 4.51 is not great, if we're being completely honest with you. So I just look at Kamari Lassiter. I listen to what Nick says. And for some reason, Ron, I think this guy's got a better chance to help this football team inside and spell Dez King, if not compete and take the starting job from Dez King.
It just, the way they talk, and you never know what's going to happen in the situation, is if DeJean was still there, or Kool-Aid was still there, you think they're picking Kamari Lassiter over those two?
No.
I wonder if they had him graded above those two.
I mean, God, I would hope not. If you have Kamari Lassiter graded above Cooper DeJean, something's wrong with you. The thing about Kool-Aid, like, there's
so
a
you don't even think it's that. You think there is a clear difference between Cooper and Kool-Aid and Kwame.
Go ahead. Get your mic out of the way. There you go, boy. That was solid. You're going to have a concussion. Can we send him to the trainer? He's got a concussion protocol over here.
And Kamari Lassiter, you think there's a clear – and if you do, I think most people who rated them had them separated. I mean, those two guys were in some people's most people's first rounds in terms of DeJean and Kool-Aid. But you think there is a clear difference between those two and – Kamari Lassiter.
Yes. Yeah, I think there is. I think Kool-Aid is more of a true corner.
I just can't accept that this is just for the inside. That was a little tough for me.
I guess I
hear what you're saying. Everything you're saying, it makes sense. I hope he is more or less competing against Jeff Okuda and CJ Henderson than he is Des King. That would be my hope for the Texans, that he's competing more with those guys than he is with Des King. I feel like Des King is a bona fide, flat out starter at nickel. I don't know that those other two gentlemen are at the outside corner opposite of Stingley. So I hope they, when they went and decided to use that premium pick on corner, that it was somebody that they felt could play opposite Stingley.
I think you should prepare yourself, Ron. Oh, hell. I think you should prepare yourself.
Really?
Hmm? I do. That's where I'm at with it. I believe you should prepare yourself.
All right.
Position flex, man.
Yeah, he can position flex to that outside corner. We'll see. All right, coming up, couple of huge days in Mexico City. What does that mean moving forward? And a couple of things that surprised me in this draft. One thing in particular that really surprised me with the Texans in this draft. That's next.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Astros this weekend sweeping the Rockies. Did this do anything to make you feel like, here they come?
Wouldn't go that far.
Did you win any money, Tyler?
I actually didn't. No, I did not.
You can't even bring yourself to bet on them, can you?
You had quit. You had quit. You tapped out. You got tired of getting just absolutely.
That's not it, honestly. I normally would have bet, but I just had a pretty busy weekend. Never got around to it.
Damn.
The smirk part on your face. What did you do this weekend, Bub?
Part of that is, man. How'd it go for you? It seems like you needed a break.
Did Meg enjoy?
Yeah, went and saw a stand-up comic. It was fun.
Yeah, you needed a break. You don't forget.
Did he make fun of you?
Mm-mm. No, he did not.
Why not?
He probably thought better, but I don't know.
Yeah, he needed a break, man. They've crushed him. I understand.
Who needed a break?
Tyler. He needed a break from the Astros. They've just...
Oh, he tapped out.
They crushed him.
We'll get back on it tomorrow, man. What do you think?
That's not true.
I think he's ready to go now. Oh, man, Tyler don't miss a chance to get a couple of bets with the Rockies. That was easy money right there. I hear you, though. Did it get you excited? Did it make you feel like, all right, here we go?
No, now I mean, I liked it a lot better than them losing those games to the Rockies, but no, I mean, I need to see a lot more.
Joe Espada said he liked the vibe. I don't know if they took my advice that they went ahead bachelor partied this thing, like I said they should do, and really went off in Mexico City and took all the tequila shots that their hearts could desire and whatever else their hearts could desire.
Boy, that could get hairy in Mexico City, boy. Ooh, boy, I bet they got that good tequila.
You don't think they wax?
You don't think they what?
He's so stupid.
What did he say?
What?
I don't think they wax.
Wax what?
You said it could get hairy. You don't think they wax?
Oh.
Got to pull a fast one. You know this.
I got you. Nah, in this context, not at all.
No, but listen. You're right. You said it earlier. If they can just take two out of three from the Guardians coming in, because that's a big test, right? Like in this thing was, it's just a damn sure. You better not get swept by the damn Rockies. That's what it was. Like you better not. You got Blanco. You got Framber. You better not get swept by the Rockies. If they can get a series win at home against the Guardians, now we could start at least opening the door, as it is almost shut, opening the door that they are potentially able to make a run and get back in this thing. But right now, that them sweeping the Rockies just got them to 10 games under 500. And they got to show more against better competition. They do it against the Guardians. We'll see. I can feel a bit better. By the way, I want to go ahead and express this at this point right now. I am not doing the lineups ever again until they get to 500.
They got to get back to 500?
I feel like that's something we should discuss as a show here.
There's no discussion.
I agree with you, no.
The damn lineups are for a team that is to be taken serious and a team that's about it. We didn't even start doing lineups until the playoffs. They got to get to 10 games. You know
Hold
what?
On, so.
They got to get over 500. They got to get a game over 500.
I think you should do one probably tomorrow before you leave for your birthday vacation.
Not a chance.
But I think it should mirror being 10 games below 500. Like I think they should all be negative. I think you
now
should
that's a hell of an idea. That is a hell of an idea.
Batting first.
That's not good juju.
Batting first. That's pull the outside true. Pitch. Come out of your shoes every time you swing. Runs bases like a 4-year old that runs the wrong way. Jose Altuve.
That's accurate.
Right? I mean, I think there's something there.
Maybe you light a spark under him, man.
No, I mean, we can get into Larry. What did Larry say about Bregman? What did he say Bregman's face was? He said, what did he call Bregman? Tyler, you remember? His phone call.
I can't remember
what he called him, but it was. I think you were out that day. Boy, it was good. Larry
Bregman got to him.
He was going down a list of all the Astros of like they appeared. Well, yeah. He's like I made the comment of like they appear to be just out of it, like they're out of sorts, you know. And he had a good one for Bregman. I can't remember what the hell it was. I think Red Ass Bregman or something. I can't think of what it was, but it was good. We can maybe look that up and incorporate that in there. Jordan, maybe we can throw the Diva around there.
No, they don't deserve it until they get to 500. Well,
I think you can talk down to them.
No, I don't want no.
I think they're disrespectful.
That's like playing out Abreu every day. It just doesn't help. I don't want to go negative on them.
I think sometimes you just got to talk to them like they are.
I want
to
give. Oh, I will.
Sometimes you just got to. Sometimes you got to. It's got to just be. It's got to be fact. It's got
to
be.
It is. It don't have to be the lineup to do it though.
Well, I mean, I feel like that's your way of talking to the team. I mean, so you act like you got a one way pass to pregame or something. Like you get to talk to them all the time. Like I feel like this is your avenue of talking to the team.
No, I got a pass via the lineups. Here. 2-6, I get to talk about them.
Every day, right?
Every day I get to talk about them. I'm telling you, that's a goal for them. I'm telling you. We could do it. Oh, they're 5 games under 500. 5 away. That'd be 6. 6 away. Oh, they're getting close. They're 21 and 9. They're 19 and 21. They're getting close.
You better bring something.
And if they do it, I'll bring it.
You better bring it. I'll
empty the complete damn tank. I'll empty the tank. I promise you. 500. Above 500. Just a game. Text line. They'll never do it. I guess it's the last time we're hearing the lineups this year. Come on now. Ye of little faith. I understand why you don't have them very much, but ye of little faith.
Well, I mean, everybody out there in Astros Nation, the fans that just the reaction to the terrible record and the bad baseball they're playing was – they hadn't played any sub 500 teams. They got a sub 500 team. They got them yesterday. They beat
drilled
the hell
their
out of
asses.
Them.
Two good.
They sweeped
two in
them.
A row.
Did that make you feel better?
They're probably pissed they didn't get a 3-game set.
That is good point. Really good point. We get 4 out of the gate versus the Yankees, and they take all 4. Then we get 2 versus the Rockies in Mexico City.
Clear it up. All right, Texans All Access coming up behind us. They'll be discussing the draft as you know. They were on it all weekend. Especially John Harris, who did a great job. Shout out to John Harris, man. It was I heard him Thursday, Friday, Saturday driving around the city. Did a great job, and man, he's on it always. So shout out to John Harris. You get to hear them coming up next, and then following them, Sean Bajani, Patrick Creighton, Area 45 comes behind Texans All Access. Hey, real quick, Clint, I got to tell you, I was a bit surprised, Clint. In this draft, and clearly I think when we see some of the things they did in the draft, it says how they feel about parts of their team. They didn't take a receiver in here. It looks like they feel, you know, I guess good enough that they didn't need to take a young receiver there. They take a tackle. It makes you wonder what is their thinking. They take a tackle really early. Makes you wonder what are they thinking down the line with their O-line. But also, they never really addressed the defensive tackle position until round seven. And to me, that's not really addressing it. In a way, in terms of, we're going to address it right now and have somebody come in to be a contributor right now this year. We're going to do that. I am surprised that two picks in the second, a pick in the third, ultimately what became one pick in the fourth, they had two there, and they didn't address the defensive tackle position at all, just adding at least a rotation piece, a young rotation piece. I'm a bit surprised they didn't look at that position.
Well, the only reason it surprises me, because I thought from jump that in that second round, pick 42, it would be hard to get a guy that was going to be better at that point in time. Out of the gate, it was going to, with the way this draft was lined up, I didn't think they would be able to get an interior presence at the defensive tackle position that was going to be better than the guys that they signed, right? The guys that they told us how many games they started and how many snaps they played last year and all this kind of stuff. The journeyman, if you will. I think it's hard in the draft to find a guy that's just going to be a plug-and-play starter as a rookie over those guys in the second round. We saw a second-round defensive tackle, even though obviously it was a bust, and the kid, Ross Blacklock, the local kid from TCU. That's what you risk. But anyway, I thought that they would have a hard time from jump finding it. Then the first round happens, and literally one defensive tackle is taken. And so you're thinking, man, if the teams at the top of the second round draft wide receivers like we think they're going to draft wide receivers, that's going to push some really good defensive tackles into, I think, an arm length's distance to the Texans at 42. And they may have a chance. And then it starts unfolding. Newton is within six picks, I think. Brandon Fisk is within two or three picks, I think. So they could have actually gone up and got those guys. I thought those guys would be upgrades over what they currently have and would be, if not plug-and-play starters, some high snap count players. And they didn't make that move. So apparently they don't feel like that's the – because they could have, if they wanted to, they could have packaged that fourth up with a two and moved up two spots.
I thought the very – if you'd have told me, all right, the first four picks, first four rounds, right, coming into it, they had two twos, a third, and two fours. You know, five picks there where they could do whatever they wanted to, move up, which they did in the third, or use all five of them as picks. I probably would have bet good money with Tyler. A defensive tackle is going to be one of those picks. I probably would have guessed. So I'm a bit surprised that they stayed there. And we'll see what happens. Certainly there are going to be players that are released or don't make it on teams during training camp that they may be able to sign. But at least at this point, they appear to be fine with what they have right now as good enough to be able to go with to start the season. And I just thought they might add another body in. So,
look, I mean, we've seen – I mean, Petrie played really well as a second-round pick. Justin Reed was a third-round pick back in the day. I mean, there's these guys potentially could be players. I just don't – as we go into their first training camp with this particular roster built the way that it is, with the exception of Kwame – had to do it one more time.
Just end it, man.
Kamari Lassiter doing it – you know, with Kamari Lassiter potentially being where I think maybe a nickel defender in that heavy in that rotation, I think you're going to have a hard time – seeing these guys.
Don't beat yourself up.
I ain't going to beat it up. You're the one you got to worry about.
Good job, Clint. Good job, Tyler, as always. Wednesday, remember, the general manager, Nick Caserio, will join Payne & Pendergast 7:30, so stay tuned for that. I am Ron Hughley. As always, Houston, we love you, baby. When someone else instead of me. I went backwards hat today.
You're only in your 30s for how much longer?
Couple more days, man.
Is that why you're doing it?
We're in our 30s. Me and Tyler are in our 30s. We can pull backwards hat.
In a few days, I'm going to be the only one on the drive in his 30s.
By the time Tyler gets up near 40, he's going to be the oldest one of the group.
You thought I was 36? Shut up, Tyler. And I know it's going to be.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.